Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. I encourage you to go there today. We've continued to make positive changes with that website to give you more for absolutely free, including three algorithms to determine the value of your home or any home. It's a remarkable system that's available only through HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA all across upstate and now into Massachusetts, the Boston, Massachusetts area, and out to Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants. And that's guaranteed. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. So call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 for personalized, customized, we like to call knock your socks off service. And if you read the paper, the Buffalo News yesterday, you saw the front page article about the condition of the inventory here in Western New York. And that's something that is true nationwide. There is just very little inventory. It's approximately half of what it was in 2012, for example. And we're coming out of recession, and inventories might have been an unnatural high at that point in time. But I think it would be arguable that they're at an unnatural low right now, which makes it all the more important that you are equipped and ready to buy when you find the house that you want. And that's if you don't have the cash lying around, which many people don't, you'll want to have this pre-purchase commitment, which is effectively cash because it's not a qualification. Every lender talks about qualifying you for a loan, and that all that is a best guess. A commitment is just that. We will loan you that money. All you need to do is find the house to fit that mortgage commitment, and it's only available at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. Don't forget about our, excuse me, our 24/7, 365 real estate hotline. The Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, all the way into the Adirondacks, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. Dial 716-631-4800. Enter the number of the street house, the house you want to know about, the street number. That's it. And no matter whose listing it is, the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want, you'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property, all automatically and just that fast. It's faster than logging onto your computer and searching through Zillow or something. All you have to do is know the street number, and the system will take care of the rest. And you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property. Anytime, any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's, anybody's listing. And today's you'll want to know about that information immediately because you don't have time today if you see the house you like. This is the spring market, or tail end of it, I should say, and we're, as I mentioned before, we have an inventory shortage, so you want to be able to act when you can, and our systems allow you to do that. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and Rochester Americans. Lots of news in all those three camps right now, and I encourage you to pay close attention and watch for an exciting season coming up this fall and into the winter. We are broadcast live on WBN 930 AM, and if you'd like to participate in today's show, you can call us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and *930 if you're mobile, and those are all free calls. So join us on Our House. We have a very special show for you today. As it said at the outset of this show, this is the only resource you have, really, in this kind of venue for everything relative to real estate. And if you look at values of real estate and you look at the contributing factors, one of those factors is the educational system that surrounds that particular location. And today we have one of the leading experts in this whole area, and that, of course, is David Rust, the executive director of the Say Yes Foundation, organization, the whole thing. There's actually a couple different pieces of it, right?
Good morning, Peter. Happy to be with you today.
Good to have you here, David. Let's start with just kind of a recap of what Say Yes is. You know, it's interesting when I'm around in the community and I ask people, you know, have you heard of this thing? And they, yeah, something, a little bit. Some people are well-versed, mm-hmm. but a lot of people are yet to really hear the whole story, and you're the guy, so.
Well, I'll do my best. Thanks, Peter. I think we're best known still probably for the scholarship, and that is a last dollar tuition promise for all graduates of the public and charter schools in the city, where if you graduate from a Buffalo public or charter school, we'll pay the tuition for you to attend any institution in the state of New York, so the SUNY and CUNY schools, and also approximately 100 privates around the country. So a really great opportunity for a two-year degree, a four-year degree, a trade or vocational certificate for any student coming out of the Buffalo public schools. So we see that really as the carrot. But also we understood as we launched that students needed a lot of supports and families needed supports to be able to access a scholarship. So I'd say the deeper part of the work, which is extremely meaningful, is supports for students and families in our Buffalo public schools. So that means everything from social services to mental health services, after school programming. We certainly partner closely with the Buffalo public schools on community school opportunities, parent centers. Then we also have some transitional supports as students transition on to college or higher ed, so mentoring opportunities, paid summer work and internships. So, you know, while there's no silver bullet, we try to be a holistic, systemic model that can drive the community outcomes forward for students and families living in the city today.
That's a mouthful. I'm going to try to break it into some pieces here.
We can dig into that.
So we can look at each piece. This issue of last dollar is something that, of course, is competed with our Excelsior program at the state level. In fact, Say Yes competes a little bit with that, I would say. I mean, you can explain how that works. But so a student exploits every opportunity they have from a grant programs to whatever the programs are out there, including the college itself that might be offering that particular student a merit scholarship or whatever. What does last dollar really mean?
So we come in after federal Pell Grants and New York State TAP aid, so the eligible aid that, that students in the state of New York are able to access. In terms of Excelsior, to answer that specifically, I'd say a year of negotiations yielded a favorable compromise for Buffalo. So recently New York State committed $10 million to the Say Yes Buffalo Scholarship Endowment. In terms of where Excelsior sits, it is last dollar for Buffalo students. So Say Yes comes in prior. There were four or five students last year in the city of Buffalo that accessed Excelsior, and that was, I think, beneficial for them. You know, conversely, we did have 2,900 students that accessed Say Yes scholarships. But, in our compromises with the state, I think our solution really put our students' needs first and continues to maximize our donors' investments. You know, we require students take 24 credits per year. Excelsior is a little bit higher than that, and I understand why, but we try to be student and family-friendly for two reasons. Of all the students we've supported with scholarships over the past few years, exactly half of it combined family income below $25,000.
Wow.
So what that means is many of our kids are working part-time or full-time, Peter, and they're taking year 5 and 6 to complete a higher ed degree, and we want to support those students. They're going to live here. They're going to contribute to our economy. So it was important that our scholarship was student-friendly. And we also have students that occasionally have to start in non-credit-bearing courses, but they're still going. They're working hard. They're being resilient. And it may take that student year 5 to complete the degree. So thanks to you and our board, I give you the credit for setting up very student-friendly bylaws and accessing the scholarship. And now, you know, I like that our students are in a very student-centric scholarship model, and I'm grateful for the state for coming in with $10 million to support our endowment. So Say Yes comes before Excelsior. If you have questions on how you would access both, I'd encourage you to call our office and talk to our scholarship coordinators. We'd be happy to meet with you. There are a few parameters where a student could access both, and again, last year that was a handful of students.
You've mentioned the endowment a few times. What are the objectives from the endowment standpoint so that this system
sure.
exists in perpetuity?
Yeah, that's the word. Our goal is to have this special promise that in place in perpetuity in the city of Buffalo, that Buffalo is known as a city that supports kids in their city through higher education. So we have to raise $100 million, Peter, and we will do that. Every penny we fundraise goes to our scholarship fund. There is no overhead. And we've received in the past few months an extraordinarily generous $25 million challenge grant, to launch our endowment. So the parameters around that is if we're able to raise $25 million from our fellow partners here in Buffalo, $25 million from national foundations, and $25 million from the state, we'll have a $100 million endowment. The last $25 will come in from our generous opportunity, and we'll be good to go. And we won't have to be out there raising any money anymore, and the community can move on to other important systemic initiatives, whether that's workforce, housing, you name it. But so we have $10 million in from the state. We've raised a few million more since we kicked off our campaign, so we are off and running. We've got a few years to get this done. But I'd encourage anybody who's interested in supporting us. Every penny goes to young people. So there's the worst that happens is you're sending young folks on to higher ed opportunities.
You know, it's interesting to me, as we look around the community, how many campaigns are going on simultaneously, all for good reasons. Yeah. And a lot of this is built on the back of the momentum that people feel here in our community. There was a friend of mine in Florida forwarded to me an article from the New York Times about Buffalo, just 36 hours in Buffalo, I think it was called, something along those lines, where an author wandered around town and checked things out and how surprised he was. And in another article, there was the author was saying that, you know, he never even thought about Buffalo, but now he's considering moving here. So it's I think a lot of the things that are going on, including Say Yes, are hopefully capitalizing on that momentum. Do you sense that when you go out to talk to donors, or is this perceived as, I certainly hope not, and I haven't experienced this, but that there's some kind of desperation here that we got to do something fast before it's too late?
I think the momentum is real and you can feel it. I'd say a couple things. First, I'd point to the fact I think people are always impressed with how we work together in Buffalo. You know, we have the problems that every major urban market does. I think what is separating Buffalo right now is the collective impact work we're doing, whether it's Say Yes, the Racial Equity Roundtable, the important work being led out of the partnership with Employee Buffalo Niagara. Everybody's working together, and I think that is not always common. And I'd say the other thing that's happening right now is we've seen a great investment in Buffalo in places, and we needed that. We needed the cranes, we needed buildings rebuilt, you know, and that's a great part of the story here. I think where Say Yes meets the equation and other folks like the partnership do is the people side of it. So we're investing in the infrastructure on one side here, and we're also investing in the intellectual infrastructure. And those are the folks that are going to work here, that are going to be employed in this region, that are going to take the jobs that are coming. And you have to have both, right? So we have real strategies in place that are systemic for both. And I commend Buffalo, too, because these are hard things to tackle, Peter. And I think that's why most communities, you know, you fund programs and pockets of greatness. But we are working systemically. And again, no silver bullet on this, but I'd expect this community will continue to grow. And we will look different in 15 years, thanks to the efforts that have taken place over the last 5-6 years across multiple sectors on here. And the final part is we've got strong elected leadership. And that matters, too, you know, whether it's the mayor, the county, our local delegation. That is in Albany. I think that's been a key part of the story here is they've been able to bring real resources to this community and have led on key issues. And it's always been about we, not me. And that continues to impress me.
And me, too. I think it's critically important. We've interviewed many of those folks here on the show because it's important to hear their perspective, not from a political sense, but from a sense of we've got a system in the state that's hard to break. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to change a lot of things that a lot of us would like to see change. It's just not going to happen. So I think part of the attitude you talk about is dealing with what we have and making the most of it, maneuvering through that system. Years ago, I had a conversation with Stan Lipsey about this, and we were engaged in a campaign to focus on those fundamental things that we in the business community felt needed change, very, very fundamental things, and particular regulations and laws and that we just found weren't going to change. And so mm-hmm. Stan said to me, he goes, look, you know, it's important that we educate the public on these things so that sooner or later there's some consciousness raised that maybe these things could be changed. But in the meantime, we got to take every penny we can get.
That's right.
And we got to go after every single nickel. And things like the Buffalo Billion and the Excelsior program, at the face of it, say, what is this thing? And then all of a sudden you say, well, how do we make sure that the pieces of that are going to the most effective use in our community? Let's go back to a couple other things. You said support for families. My own belief is that you can have the greatest or worst educational system in the world, but if the family is not involved, it's going to be the worst, no matter what you do. And you can see it in the eyes of the students when they arrive at school, what they're dealing with, the baggage that they're bringing along with them. So when you talk about support for families, what does that mean from a Say Yes perspective?
Yeah, so we've talked about some of our historical programs on this in the past. I'm going to focus on some of our new initiatives, and then I can back up if you'd like. First, I'd like to start with the Community Schools Initiative, which has been really led under the vision of the Buffalo Public Schools and in close partnership with us. And I commend our director, Tanya Staples. But the Community Schools models opens the buildings during weekdays and also on Saturdays. So Saturday academies, for example, over this past year, we had 44,000 families come through the door across multiple Buffalo Public Schools. And they're there for hot meals. They're there for enrichment. They're there for academic support. They're there for credits for adults. I mean, it's really extraordinary, and we're seeing some strong early outcomes. So, for example, once a student, a parent, and guardian are coming three times, we're seeing increases in academics, stronger attendance, and less discipline referrals just from three visits, which is incredible. It's been a widely successful initiative, and the beautiful thing is it's engaging parents and students together. And I'd encourage anybody that wants to visit a community school, visit the Buffalo Public Schools website, visit the Say Yes Buffalo website. It's wonderful, and it's all free. That's how you engage families back in the model. And So even within that, the strategy behind that is that 50% of the seats in the community schools are saved for kids that live within 7/10 of a mile, 75% for those that are within a mile and a half. So we're re-engaging families in their community school. But it doesn't remove choice. So if your community school isn't strong, you still have the choice to go to a school in a different part of the city, which is good. Another opportunity is parent centers. We now have four parent centers with the Buffalo Public Schools in different quadrants of the city where we're engaging families. And the topics are as genuine and needed as anything I've seen in Buffalo, Peter. It's about grandparents that are raising children, single moms, clubs, just very relevant conversations to meet the needs of our families. And I'd encourage anybody that has parental needs, it's about connection to services and also workshops there. We're also working to engage families very young. So in a close partnership with the Ralph C. Wilson Jr. Foundation and a local nonprofit called Help Me Grow, we're now screening and assessing all pre-K and kindergarten students as they enter the public schools. And the public schools have been a great partner in this, but it looks at five domains of school readiness. And then we're able to link to families to services if they need those, if they're showing is not pre-K or kindergarten ready. So we're working with our earliest learners. And again, that's available at Help Me Grow, just a terrific program. So those are some newer strategies we have in place, Peter, but there's, again, no silver bullet to it, but we're trying to meet families where they are, talk with families, not about them, and provide them the resources they need. So, you know, everything we worked to get in place when we launched, social services in schools, mental health clinics, extended learning, that all remains. And I think we've been able to grow because we're working together and we're stronger together. So I think just some great new examples of how we're able to work with families and engage families.
Would you describe Say Yes then, David? No one organization could do everything you're talking about. Would you describe then Say Yes as a connector of organizations? Because, I mean, the YMCA is doing its thing. The United Way is doing its thing through many organizations. You mentioned the partnership in terms of workforce development, working with the United Way. But there's all these things going on out there. Are you the connector?
That's right. We actually employ more people than I anticipated when we launched this 6 years ago. So we do have around 120 colleagues now, but we have well over 200 established partnerships. And the point is that we don't want to replicate or duplicate services. So we don't employ the mental health clinicians. They're employed by Child and Family Services, by Gateway Longview, by Catholic Charities. They do the work. Our role there is to find the sustainable funding and to capture the data. Same thing with extended learning time. We've had great after-school programs in this community for a long time, run by places like Best Self and Northwest Buffalo Community Center, Hillside. You know, we don't want to replicate that. We want to, you know, find the money and ensure that the programs are in place. So we try and connect the dots and get folks to work together. I think the partnership's a great example of that. You know, our internship program under Dottie's leadership, they've recruited a number of employers to offer paid summer work experiences for our scholars. So we have kids this summer at 43 North, the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Roswell Park, the Darwin Martin House. And, you know, these will lead to full-time job offers down the road that started to happen with many of our students already. We have students that have had internships that are getting job offers at National Grid and the Buffalo History Museum. That's going to connect to the workforce and also diversify our workforce, which is important.
How many, what percentage of the families, and I don't know how you segment the way you look at the Buffalo society, the city itself, but what percentage of families are you touching through this program? I mean, all the things, all the supported families, mentoring, paid internships, all the things you talked about.
You know, I could go through the data for every one of our programs and we capture that. But for example, for scholarship applications this past year, 95% of the kids in the district applied for their Say Yes scholarship.
95%?
Yeah. Our school-based social service program served 18% of the students in the district this past year. So out of, you know, 34,000, 19% are serviced. So I can go up, down the list for each of those. Mental health clinics touch 4,500 lives out of 34,000. So we capture that data for each program in terms of the usage. You know, in terms of the collective whole, though, we're touching 80, 90% of the students in the district across all the services. And there's other things which I haven't gotten into yet, things like legal clinics, which, you know, are for immigration, housing, family law, et cetera. And those are run pro bono by seven large law firms. So if there's a need, we try and meet it for families, and we try and meet it right in the public school buildings.
You know, this is, as I look kind of at the societal thing, part of this has to do with how families view themselves in terms of their stake in the community. And many of the families that you're talking about just don't have the resources to build that stake effectively, maybe by owning their own home or that kind of thing. And you compound that with the issues that we're facing in the real estate industry today, everyone's facing in terms of inventory availability, the difficulty with housing. You've only got 30 seconds before the break, intersect with any of the housing organizations around town too?
Yeah, the primary thing we do is through our legal clinics, and that's if there's landlord-tenant disputes. Mm-hmm. We do get involved in those, and I think if you've read the book Evicted, which was based in Milwaukee at the end of the last decade, same challenges here in Buffalo today. So that's how we try and work. That's in partnership with the Volunteer Lawyers Project.
We're going to come back to that because I think that's critically mm-hmm. important. And we'll be back with more from our Sears with Say Yes Executive David Rusty after these very important messages.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. When it comes to the single biggest purchase of your life, it pays to shop around. If you think you've found the best rate available for your home loan, why not let us take a second look? We'll review your rates and your terms and try to see if we can do better. And just for giving us a shot, we'll give you a $50 gift card.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place in the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate, even into Boston, Massachusetts, and out to Phoenix, Arizona. You'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before and live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. This is becoming more and more important because as you're competing for that house in a tight inventory, you want to know what your options are post-closing in terms of the costs you're going to be involved in. And we have a housing stock here in Western New York that varies in age from 150 or years of age or older to brand new. And along the way, there's varying degrees of maintenance that previous owners will engage in. And you're stuck with what you get when you close. This still is an as-is business in terms of the product that you're buying. So fundamentally, the best thing you can do is know everything you can about that property before you close. And this Buy the Before and Live the After program allows you to do that. 633-3700. Ask about our pre-purchase commitment. You can have it on that kind of loan, too. And even our warm home loan, only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And if you would just like to pick up the phone and have a question answered about anything relative to real estate, call the Hunt Customer Service Center, the only one of its kind in North America, 633-9400. One of our customer service reps will either answer your question right there or direct you to the appropriate professional for your particular needs, whether you're considering buying or selling, financing, insuring, or even fixing up the home you have. Remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan. You might have heard about these home purchase programs and these, you know, the direct purchase. They're calling them iBuyer programs now in the country. Believe me, there's more to it than a computer-generated offer on your house. I assure you of that much. I can guarantee you that much under any circumstances. Nobody's going to buy your home in, you know, an hour or two based on something that they read on a screen. This is not going to happen. So you want to talk to one of our agents, and they'll show you the real way, and that's a seller security plan. It's only available through Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. So stop into one of our many open houses this weekend and speak with one of our agents yourselves. We have a very special show for you today. I'm in the studio with David Rust, who is the executive director. Is that your title?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been called worse.
Not by me. The executive director of the Say Yes organization, including the Say Yes Foundation, which is on a mission right now to build an endowment that will make the organization self-perpetuating. Is that bad English?
It is. Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, anyway.
I'm not an English major, though.
It'll solve the financial problems going into the future. David, before the break, we were talking about the attitude out there that we're running into and how you said 98% of the students applied for the Say Yes scholarship, which is an amazing statistic in and of itself. Do you find there's any stigmatization along these lines? I mean, are people reluctant to seek help? Are they resign themselves to their conditions sometimes? Is this a generational thing? How do we break through a psychological barrier, if there is one? I don't even know if there is one, but so that people will seek and receive the not just help, but the guidance and mentoring that they need to really mm-hmm. to really change their lives.
I don't think there is. You know, we always want to do better at Say Yes. I do think one of the things we've done well is employing a very diverse workforce, and that's really critical. You know, we employ 120 folks. 65% of our team from senior leadership throughout the organization are people of color. And it's really helpful to have people that are from communities that look like the kids, encouraging them with the opportunities in front of them, whether that's a scholarship or a strong community school or access to social services. That is one part we've gotten right, and that's something that is very near and dear to our organization, is representing this community. And it certainly, you know, plays out when we're working with students and families about, you know, having somebody you trust saying, take advantage of the service, this will be good for you. That matters.
It really does matter, because I'm convinced that the biggest problem we have begins with what you're talking about here, which is linking all the very fine organizations that are doing good work and then providing a direct access point so that families can lead a better life, that very simply. And the other side, of course, is funding and making sure all that happens. But a lot of that has to do with just the ability to connect to people and with people along the way. You brought a bunch of data with you, and I want you to share some of that data, and I don't want to stick you in one little corner of it. So share with us what's really going on.
Sure. I'll share three or four key points that I think show why this investment has been worthwhile. So, for example, when we launched Say Yes, the graduation rate in the public schools was 49%. 5 years later, we're at 64%. So great progress. We will not go up another 15 percentage points in the next 5 years. It's not that it was just low-hanging fruit, but the work gets harder from here. So still a good story developing, although we're, you know, not graduating two-thirds of our kids yet, so work to do. Post-secondary enrollment, we've had a 10 percentage point increase over the past 5 years. So in 2012, only 57% of the students in the public schools enrolled into college or a post-secondary program. 5 years later, that's up to 67%. And I just want to put that in context for a second, because over that same period of time, Buffalo is up 10 percentage points. In the country, we've had a 2 percentage point decline. In the state, we've had a 7 percentage point
decline.
So we are reversing state and national trends right now in dealing with college and post-secondary enrollment.
Now, that would include Syracuse, which also has a Say Yes program, correct?
It would, yes.
And I don't mean to sidetrack you, but how are they doing?
You know, I would encourage you to look at the Brookings Institution report for people that are interested in, you know, how Say Yes has played out in Syracuse, Buffalo, Guilford County. I'd say the work is hard. There's wins in all those communities. We had the benefit of going second and learned a lot of lessons from Syracuse, and I'm grateful for that. And they have a lot of programs in place still. If you look at the Brookings Institution report, you'll see that Buffalo is the shining model. across, you know, all the communities where SAIS has been launched. And that's important because Brookings is obviously a really highly regarded institution across the country and highly read. And I think Richard Reeves and his team did a really good job spending time here unpacking the Buffalo story and talking about why it's working. So that's best coming from the experts, and the mm-hmm. experts say that Buffalo has been a strong model thus far.
So I sidetracked you. So mm-hmm. you were going to touch on a couple other points.
Sure. Nope. It's right in line because Brookings does verify our data points, which is important to have sources behind saying you're doing the right thing as well. You know, as, in terms of data, too, as mentioned, some national context. So Buffalo students are matriculating at higher rates than their peers across the country. So high poverty districts, which includes Buffalo across the country, are only sending 52% of their students to post-secondary institutions right now. Buffalo's at 67%. Urban districts, 62%. Buffalo at 67%. So, you know, we want to get up to affluent districts, which are 77%. So still work to do, but, you know, that's what we'll aim for. But the Buffalo story is a good one right now. I think the last piece of data, which I'll share right now, and then I'll be happy to take questions, is we are starting to show a large amount of college completers. So, for example, from the class of 2013, which is the first class that accessed scholarships, we have 330 completers, and 21% of the students that graduated Buffalo Public that year have completed a two-year degree, a four-year degree, or a college or post-secondary rate. That's the highest percentage point increase completing within 4 years in the 7 years prior. So there was a downward trend. Now it's moving up. It's up by one percentage point from the year higher. And that's not the end of the story. So right now, the number we're going to track is the six-year graduation rate. Right now, the average for a student across the country, this isn't just an urban statistic, to complete a two-year degree is 3.1 years, and the average length of completion for a four-year degree is 5.1 years. So we'll be looking at six-year completion rates. And Peter, I can tell you, as of last January, we still had 204 students that were about to enter their fifth year with an average of 94.6 credits. So they're doing everything right, just taking them a little longer to get through. So mm-hmm. I think the resilience of the students is a strong story. So what we're developing now, it's too early for trends, but we do have trends and data that far more students are matriculating into college. Our first year's data is showing that more students are completing college. So some good data here. Obviously, this is a long-term strategy, but we're pleased with that for now.
You have a bunch of things going on this summer. Is it too late for kids to get involved?
No, we're still accepting applications to our summer camps, and I'd encourage families that are looking for a quality opportunity for your kids this summer. They're for kindergarten through sixth graders. They are free. There's 45 sites around the city. They're housed at community-based organizations and religious institutions. We work closely with partnership here with the Buffalo Public Schools, the City of Buffalo, Erie County. The Cullen Foundation came in as a key funder to this year, which we're grateful for. And it's built on, again, academics, reading, but also structured recreation time, talent discovery. You know, summer is a time for kids to learn art, music, play. It's built on all those fun things, which will get kids in the door.
And do you work with the school system so that, you know, there's a lot of noise about when schools are cutting budgets, those are exactly the programs they cut out. Do you work with the schools to make sure these things happen in school after they've had hopefully a good experience during the summer?
We do. You know, the district is funding after-school programs in every single public school building for 2 hours every day. And even in a big budget, that's a large commitment. So kudos to Dr. Cash. You know, I think his education plan, The Bargain, I know you've had him on this mm-hmm. show before, I think is perfectly aligned. So kudos to Dr. Cash and the board for getting the community rallied around what their strategic plan was. And I think just as importantly is, you know, I run this like a business, you run a business, budgeting towards your priorities, right? So he doesn't have to pay for extended learning time and is choosing to. And I think, you know, kudos to him. Kudos to Dr. Nevergold, who's done a great job leading that board mm-hmm. With kindness and dignity and getting people aligned behind the important things. So, yeah, that extends into the school year. And I think this is one of the few districts in the country that are offering after-school programs at that rate.
Really? Well, that's very encouraging. The I think the if there's any theme to any of this that I'm hearing, it's kind of the earlier the better.
Yeah.
I was involved in a mentor program at one of the public school systems for a long time, one of the public schools in the city of Buffalo, I should say. And unfortunately, and I mean this unfortunately, by the time that these kids were assigned to one of us, they were in their junior or senior year for the most part. And by that point in time, the school this goes back not that long, but a few years, the school was just anxious to get them graduated and gone because there was nothing more that they felt they could do because there had been so much not done earlier on. So mm-hmm. how soon do you try to interact with families so that they can start to get on board with this? Because, you know, back when I first became involved with this organization, it seemed to me that the data was building very positively. Mm-hmm. And I was very pleased to learn way back when that we'd started working with the families going way back into their history. So how soon is too soon, and how soon is Say Yes involved?
We get involved at pre-K during that registration process, but earlier than that is even better. Reading to kids at a young age, you know, there's the people talk about the importance of those first 2-3 years in child brain development. By age 2 and 3, and I'm not an expert in those areas. I'm not an educator. So there's people that are far more intelligent than me that can talk about those. But I do know all the data shows the earlier the better. There is correlating data with third grade reading levels and what that means to your graduation rate. So I'd say the earlier interventions, the better. And I think there's other opportunities to do more. I mean, I would even say even in the college and career match process, you know, something I would love to do and have funded in the high schools is taking the labor market assessment data, talking to kids in 9th and 10th grade about these are the jobs available in this community, these are the money it pays, these are the local institutions that provide those degrees. So if you go into these tracks, you're highly likely to be employed. That's another opportunity, I would say. So starting the college and career discussion as early as possible and in the high school years is critical. It's not just signing up for a scholarship your senior year. You know, there's a pathway that leads to that. So earlier interventions, the better. Earlier we start talking about college and career, the better.
And we'll be right back with more with David Rust after these very important messages.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. When it comes to the single biggest purchase of your life, it pays to shop around. If you think you've found the best rate available for your home loan, why not let us take a second look? We'll review your rates and your terms and try to see if we can do better. And just for giving us a shot, we'll give you a $50 gift card.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. It's an all-encompassing real estate and homeownership experience, unlike any other real estate website out there, and there are thousands. Believe me, there are thousands of real estate websites, but make their job a lot easier. Just go to huntrealestate.com. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment and the buy the before and live the after mortgage at 633-3700. And speak with one of our skilled mortgage consultants today and save yourself a lot of trouble and time as you enter a very, very interesting real estate market, which I hope you're considering, because it's never too late or too early to enter the real estate market. I constantly ask questions about, well, is there a bubble out there? Will it burst? Will I lose money? Will I make money? Well, no one knows that in any financial market, and the real estate world is a financial market of sorts. But the big difference is you're buying something that you can live in, unlike a stock and a piece of paper that you get from a company that says you own a little portion of it. You're truly gambling in that sense. But the worst that can happen with real estate is that the property goes down in value, but you still have a place to live. And that's something that most people, I think, cherish in their lives. And it has a lot to do with what we're talking about this morning, which is with David Rust as the executive director of the Say Yes organization. And it is an organization that comprises a couple different very important pieces. David, during the break, we were talking about how far Say Yes has come in just 6.5 years or so. Kind of walk us back in history. And you were talking about how I think there was I sat in on a couple of those meetings way back when this was being talked about and listened to kind of the disbelief on the part of the people receiving the message. But tell us how that all happened. And you, because you've been with us since day one.
Day one, yeah. I was the first employee. There's a great story Alfonso O'Neill White, our longtime board chair, tells, is when Clotilde first learned about the Pittsburgh Promise and the Kalamazoo Promise, which is, they're similar scholarship programs to Say Yes Buffalo, although they don't have the services and supports at scale we do. She walked him through a scholarship promise for every graduate of the public and charter schools, and she said, am I crazy? And Alfonso said, yep, let's do it. So, yeah, I think a lot of people thought this just wouldn't work. The problem was too big and too deep, and the complexities families had were going to be too hard to touch.
In fact, they were, and they become self-fulfilling.
They do. But this was, I think we as an organization had a belief in the potential of every child. I think we knew that we wanted to do it in close partnership with private sector and public sector and give all the important folks in this town a voice and give a voice to those that often hadn't had a voice. And we wanted to do it as quickly as possible. I mean, this was a startup, Peter. 6 years ago, we had no HR function, no IT function, no finance, no programs, no scholarship model. We had nothing. And now it's a pretty high-functioning nonprofit, although we're always, you know, trying to do better. So I think it's a great story for Buffalo. And it's also the right one. You know, I think any economic strategy, I'm not an economic development guy. I just know that leaves people on the fringes and doesn't give them access to education in the workforce is going to be the wrong one for our community. I always read we've got 165,000 jobs coming in this community in the next decade, and two-thirds are going to require a post-secondary credential. Even though people are starting to move here, 165,000 people won't move here. The opportunity's here. It's within the city of Buffalo, and it's an opportunity to take care of our own. And it's the right strategy for Buffalo. So we're excited about where we've come. But I also want to recognize that nobody could have done it alone. You know, we have such – I could go on and on with the list of good folks that are – a partner of Say Yes, and you know, people, we do this hand in glove and holding hands. It's not reliant on one person in the middle, and I think that's a smart strategy, but I fully recognize we couldn't have done this on our own. It's with a lot of good people,
and no question about it. And I think it's programs like this that brings out the good in people too.
Yeah,
and the real opportunity for them to avoid the frustration and kind of complaining cocktail talk and really be able to do something. And I don't think people want to engage in that. I think they become lost in the enormity of the problems. Mm-hmm. And they say, what the heck? I can't change government. I can't change this. But this is a very much a hands-on kind of approach to real change in our society. How much do you look at the demographics and the real shift? Because you mentioned 165,000 jobs. Those are not necessarily new jobs. Those are jobs that need to be filled because there's going to be retirements.
That's right.
So it's not like we're going to have this explosion in job workforce here, but we're going to have an explosion in opportunity.
That's right.
Because jobs need to be filled. So, I mean, how much do you look at the demographics that of because we don't have – we have a shrinking number of that traditional future employee, the kid that goes to high school, graduates, goes to a four-year school, gets a degree in liberal arts, and comes back and becomes a trainee in some financial organization. That's not a growing pool. It's mm-hmm. a shrinking pool. But we have on the other end, we have this growth in advanced manufacturing jobs. We have replacement of traditional manufacturing jobs that need to be filled. So how do you take the whole all that huge collection of demographic data and try to piece that together with the educational opportunities you're trying to create?
I see opportunity across the board. I see it everywhere from the boardroom and CEO jobs to financial institutions and accountants to advanced manufacturing. There is opportunity everywhere in this community right now. We can help fill those gaps across the board. I think in some cases, kids that are very technically inclined are smart to take advantage of a quick two-year degree, go work in this community. You know, we launched at Burgard a few years ago with the Buffalo Public Schools a five-year program where students leave and have an associate's degree in machining, CNC machining, welding, or automotive technology. They're going to make great money right off the bat. You know, on the other end, I think we need to look at opportunities for kids that want the job that you have, want the job that I have. I think there's room for all that.
They can have mine if they...
I think the opportunity is there forever. And, you know, I'm excited that PTEC wants to come here. You know, that's the school down in Brooklyn, which is built on a very similar model. It's been adopted by IBM, I believe, and Caterpillar is using that strategy in the Midwest to fill their workforce. I just think the opportunities are endless right now. So we look forward to good conversations across the board for our kids to work here.
Well, that to me is very exciting. I heard some – I was involved in a trustee meeting last weekend where we had a very disturbing demographic news relative to the composition and sheer numbers of students that were going to be looking to go to colleges like the one that we were – sit around the table trying to discuss the future for. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so interesting to see how an organization like Say Yes can connect with, just like you're saying, with specific programs that meet a specific need, that give a young person an opportunity today, as opposed to a kind of a total, a more abstract look at their future, saying these are fundamental skills that every person should have, a liberal arts degree. And I would never disagree with that. Mm-hmm. But the fact of life is that the jobs that are going to be open now and into the near future may not meet that kind of educational prerequisite.
The skill set to be a CNC machinist or a math teacher is not a ton of difference, right? I mean, you've got to understand angles and cuts and fractions, and a lot of it's done on the computers in front of us now. So I think, yeah, those fundamental skills are really critical. And it gives kids multiple pathways towards career options then when they're finished, which is what you want. You know, I think you want a varied skill set. I think you want, but also things you're really good at. And the other part, too, is today's workforce is a lot about, you know, collaboration, communication, flexibility. So working on the professional skills that we all need to on a day-to-day basis. And we do tackle a lot of that in our internship program. It's a great chance for our kids to get into professional workspaces, learn those skill sets, and, you know, learn what they like, maybe what they don't like. And, again, that is leading to job offers for kids at quite a different number of places in our community.
Somebody listening to this show might be asking themselves, gee, you know, there's been such a wide range of topics talked about within the context of the Say Yes program. How would I get involved if I wanted to help, if I don't have a big pile of money I want to donate?
Well, there's, I think,
I mean,
three.
Besides a big pile of money.
Yeah, but the two opportunities and a third that I'll mention is, first of all, mentoring. You know, we're always looking for one-to-one connections for our students as they transition to college. We ask for an 18-month commitment from mentors to meet with young people twice a month. Second is internships for businesses that have jobs they're trying to fill and want to bring in interns. It's a great opportunity to have a high-quality intern in your workspace that may lead to a job. And the third one, which we're launching, is we're piloting a tutoring opportunity in a few of the community schools this fall. So if folks are interested in maybe not the full-time mentoring commitment, but want to tutor once a month in a school, we'll have those opportunities available as well, too. We're starting that with Citibank. They'll be adopting one of the schools. They've come in as a strong funder of our internship program and want to engage. So, again, been a great partner to Say Yes. We're going to pilot the tutoring, and I think we can grow that in the years to come.
How many people, just to give some context, if Citibank wants to adopt a school, how many people from Citibank itself will need to make a commitment?
That's a good question, and one I may have to get back to you on, but I know we'd look for 10, 20 mentors to start, but if it grows, we could adopt more schools.
Because that's very interesting. That's doable.
It's doable,
from a listener standpoint. I mean, whether they're an employer or an employee, they could go to their employer and say, you know, I'd like to do this. Why don't we all, if I've got 10 friends here that would do it with me, and we've got enough background educationally that we can help out. Or better yet, if it's a specific skill that's being taught, like you mentioned at Burgard, for example.
Yeah,
these are exciting opportunities, and it takes it beyond just the fundraising issue, which obviously is critically important. But but people want to have their hands on something too and feel good about what they're doing. And I've often said in discussions with trying to solve the big problems of the world, our little world here, when I really want to say, why don't we just help one kid or one family, you know? And foolishly, a million years ago, I suggested when I was learning about the tax code, I said, why don't they have a, you know, instead of do all the calculations, what you owe the government, and figure out what you owe, and then that's one thing, and you could send a check to the government or New York State and federal government for these 2 months of money. Or there's another box over here that says, I want to help this family at 123 Main Street. I'm going to send all my money directly to them. Not in one shot, but I'm going to send it over a period of time. I'm going to send it through a bank so that it's not. Anyway, that's a silly idea, but the fact of the matter is I think people want to have a direct impact, and I think they can through Say Yes. In our last minute or so, how can people reach you, David?
Please go to our website, sayyesbuffalo.org, call our office, 247-5310. You can engage with us on social media, primarily Facebook. Stop by our office, 712 Main Street. We've got plenty of friendly people that are willing to answer any questions that you may have. We try and provide meaningful ways to interact with this community. So if you want to get involved, please let us know.
David Russ, Executive Director of CES, thank you for being with me and us this morning.
Thanks, Peter. Glad to be with you.
Thank our listeners. I'll be back again next week. And remember, when it comes to real estate, Western New York is hunt country, and enjoy the 4th of July holiday.